News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 21st of August, Anno Domini 2004. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing news, views, and stuff we can use on this mini edition of Soundbites. And we'll start with the news, and we'll start with Dave.
Okay.
She's not ready.
Yeah. All right. Gateway's offering a real neat plan here that it'll cost you only $30. But if you want to, say, upgrade your machine through them, as far as the hard drive, through this plan, what they'll allow you to do is keep the old hard drive. Before, if you wanted to upgrade, well, they make you send back the old hard drive, and then you'd get the new one and put the data in on that. But it's more of a backup. You never know how long. I mean, I get hard drives fresh out of the bag, you know, die. So you never know how long an actual hard drive is ever going to last. So folks keep saying, well, what made it die? Well, you know, why does it burn out?
Bad timing.
Sunspots. Lake effect. You know.
Right, who knows?
You know, it's just like, why do light bulbs burn out? You know, they just do. And same with hard drives. They're electronic components, and they can go bad. So, you know, it's not a bad plan if you want to keep the hard drive around just to have an extra backup of your data. Another thing shortly here is, kind of keeping it quick, since we're on a time here, the new IM message worm out there. They discovered one in June that was on a lot of websites hosted by in Russia, Ukraine, and the United States that had put the Microsoft patches onto it. And it's called the Downloader Eject. And there's just another variant out there. Of course, Microsoft again says, you know, get out there, you know, do the patches. And, you know, like we keep telling you folks week to week, dance the tango, folks. Yeah, we got to come up with some good music.
Yeah. I don't think they really have tango music here. It's really not their kind of...
No, but I'm saying for our show.
Somewhere in the vast library of music they have.
The vast library of music here high atop the Seneca building in the corner of Midtown Plaza.
Go ahead, Steve. What's the news?
Well, we had some interesting news this week. Some of the analysts that watch computer shipments are forecasting that Apple's G5s are going to be scarcer than they originally thought. They are slowly trickling out of distribution now. The 1.8s and the 2.0s. The 2.5s I don't think anyone has seen yet. We've only gotten three of our 30 2.0s that we've ordered. And most of the analysts are saying it's because IBM can't crank out the chips fast enough because it's been so hard shifting to the 90 nanometer process.
Rob Litton's looking.
Rob Litton. Yeah, we'll explain that later. IBM, along with Intel and AMD, are having trouble shifting to the 90 nanometer chip technology, which makes the chip smaller and therefore faster. So if you have a G5 on order, it may end up needing to wait a little bit more. Some bad news in the Apple world. If you bought a 15-inch aluminum PowerBook between January and August of 2004, there is a recall on the battery, and this affects about 28,000 units. Four people out of 28,000.
Wait a minute. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. we'll explain that one later. Go ahead.
He's drooling over it. Four people out of these 28,000 reported to Apple that their batteries were overheating.
You're a beautiful human being.
So that Apple is now recalling these 28,000 batteries. They have a website that will be on our link list in a minute that you can return your battery and get a brand new battery. The batteries were all manufactured by a single company, LG Chem of South Korea, in December of 2003. So it's only those specific, there's five different serial numbers for the battery that, that are continued. So if you have a 15-inch aluminum PowerBook that you bought this year, take a look at the Apple website. Take a look at our website for the link to see if your battery is affected by the recall.
Wait a minute. I got to interject something here. Because folks are probably wondering what's going on since we don't have the camera.
And I'm trying to read the news.
But, yeah, we can interrupt for that. But we got to thank Mrs. Rob Linton.
No, she's not
Mrs.
Mrs. Mother. Rob, it's Rob's mother. Mrs. Linton, but not necessarily Mrs. Rob Linton.
I was going to say.
Depends on Rob's father's name.
Anyways, I want to thank her.
Rob doesn't know what his father's name is.
I'm sure he does.
I won't go there. Anyway,
so she's Mrs. Rob Linton, so he was right.
Robert Linton. Well, I was close. Anyway, she baked us a bunch of cookies. God bless you, you're a wonderful
one
woman.
One flavor, though.
She did a chocolate chip cookie, double chocolate oatmeal cookies, and molasses oatmeal.
Another one of those lost arts in America. No one bakes anymore.
Bring me some of them, their chocolate chips, will
you? All right, here's the...
Bake me.
That's well, three of us.
She loves us more than she loves you. It's true for a long time. All right, listen, here's the deal. If you're a Windows XP Service Pack 2 kind of person, you should know that there are some programs that seem to stop working. Microsoft's own words, seem to stop working. Basically, they list a bunch of things here, but basically it's anything that connects to the Internet. And that's because...
Which is everything.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's because it's their firewall. You need to start opening holes in the firewall to let some of these programs through, of course. The whole point of a firewall is to not open holes in it. There you have it. My personal preference is to stick with Zone Alarm and turn off theirs. There's an auto-update feature that will update things behind the scenes without ever asking you your opinion on it. And Microsoft...
Bugs.
There are a bunch of bugs. One is for the Zone ID. Another one is for drag and drop. Another one is programming error that fails to update that Zone ID information.
There's an amazing number of things. So although it's their own product, a lot of their own products don't work. They're finding some other flaws in it. Workaround for this is they want you opening up all these other ports.
Well, and that's the problem.
And it's like, wait a minute, hello, I'm opening up Pandora's box.
Yeah, let me suggest that
after you install XP Service Pack 2, you immediately turn off their firewall and reinstitute Zone Alarm because it's a little easier to use and it does much of the same thing. Now, if you don't patch your PC ever, folks, according to a survey that was taken from the Internet Storm Center at sans.org, they have found out that it takes somewhere around 20 minutes for the average machine to be compromised once it's connected to the Internet and unpatched.
Which is pretty much out of the box.
That's down from 40 minutes last year. Yeah, if you take a machine out of the box, plug it into the network, within 20 minutes, you will be owned.
And it could be within 1 minute.
the average.
I've said this before. We put a brand new machine at work. We put a brand new machine on the internet. Now it was a Linux box, so you know we were in the process of installing via the network, and I just wanted to see you know what would happen. And we installed it on the network. The very first item in the logs is somebody trying to break brand new machine, brand new IP address.
Before the boot success it message.
Right. It said someone was trying to break in with one of the typical script kiddie Windows exploits. I didn't really worry about it because it can't affect the Linux box anyway. But it was pretty interesting to note that the very first entry in the log was somebody trying to break in. It was a brand new machine on a brand new IP address. So if you have a machine on the internet and it's not patched, it's likely no longer your machine, to be completely honest about it and to put it in as pleasant a set of terms as I can. You're owned by somebody else, and so you need to worry about that. Microsoft has a list of all of the machines that it already knows about that are broken by Service Pack 2. We'll have that link up in a minute. There's a lot of them from Microsoft and from Veritas and from Autodesk Computer Associates. Lots and lots of companies. Symantec, Ghost Backup Exec 9 is broken.
Norton,
AttachMate, McAfee, right.
For the corporate version, that's really good to have a corporate network. You know, not protected by antivirus software.
And, of course, any of you Unreal Tournament players, you're done. Starfleet Command 3 is done. Chess Advantage 3, chess game, broken by the update. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, there's a bunch of them. We do have a knowledge base article on what Service Pack 2 breaks. That'll be online. Also, it tells you how to open up your firewall. Again, I suggest you ignore that part of it entirely. And reinstitute something like Zone Alarm, which will open up ports for specific programs only and close them down again when you don't need them. A much better deal for you. We don't recommend leaving unprotected machines on the net. And are you all right?
No, I can't hear anything on my earpiece.
What?
No.
Yeah. So we suggest that you do that. Are we taking a break? Is that what we're doing?
I can hear
you guys are waving at each other. I don't know what's going on anymore.
No, I'm trying to get my earpiece up because I couldn't hear anything.
Before we go to the phones, how much time do we have? A couple minutes? 5 minutes? Yeah. Oh, I have a cautionary tale I have to tell you.
Let's hope this is 5 minutes just now.
I knew you were going to be said 5 minutes. I knew it. This Monday, I treated myself. I don't do this often. But I went down to the lovely folks at Jesse Group, and I bought myself an iPod, a 20-gig iPod. I am so in love.
Now, wait a minute. Has your daughter inherited it yet?
Not yet. Unbelievably, neither my daughter nor my wife.
How long do you think that's going to last?
Pause. Not long. It may be gone by the time I get home.
You might have to go to the 40 gig.
Yeah, I know.
You mean you took it out of your pocket?
Yeah. Well, it's charging right now. And that's part of my cautionary tale. Right now, I have to tell you, it ends perfectly because I love this thing. But when I first bought it, I took it home. I got it plugged in. I charged it up overnight. I got it, did all the stuff you're supposed to do. And then I connected it to my computer. And, of course, it wouldn't connect to my computer at all because I have USB 1.1 and it requires 2.0. Luckily, I have a FireWire card that I never put into my machine for my digital camera. I just never use it because I've got SD cards instead. So I put that in, and I plugged it in, and that worked great, except that I could only install maybe half a dozen songs. I listen to old-time radio, so there's 7, 10, 12 meg files. And I'd install 3 or 4 of them, and then the connection would break. And I'd have to reset the iPod. And then this went on and on for like a couple of days. And I was so angry, and I thought, what the heck? And then I suddenly said, and this is where the cautionary tale part comes in, folks. If they sat down and thought, you know, what if somebody called into Soundwave and asked this question? Said they were having this problem. What's the first thing we ask?
We turn over to Steve.
We turn over to Steve and then we go to sleep.
Yeah.
But if we were, in fact, to answer the question, what's the first thing we'd ask? We'd say, do you have the latest driver?
Yeah.
So I go up on Apple's website and doggone it if there isn't another. Because I did update it, but there was another update. So I installed that update. Everything works perfectly. I installed about 1,200 old-time radio shows last night in one swell swoop, just plugged it in, walked away. When I came back, they were all uploaded. It works great. I love this thing.
You know what? There's a great program on Saturdays around, normally on 1220 to 2 o'clock. You should listen to it.
I should?
Yeah.
Is it like classical music or
no,
it'll
give
you
a lot of information on how to work a hardware.
I'm going to work hardware.
You got it. Tune in. I think they've been doing it over 15 years.
Really?
Just guessing.
Unbelievable. Okay. Unbelievable. But the cautionary part of this tale is, it happened to me, it can happen to you. Anytime you've got a problem, first thing you need to do is check with the manufacturer's website and make sure you have the latest updated
software.
No,
that's why I have that T-shirt.
RTFM.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Read the manual first.
Yep.
The problem was an update to the firmware in the iPod itself.
Yeah.
And once I did that, it's worked like a charm ever since. It's a wonderful toy. If you don't own an iPod today, and you owe yourself a little treat. I don't listen to a lot of music, but I listen to a lot of old-time radio.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be music. Audiobooks.
Right.
You know,
that's the other thing.
Record.
I just started listening to audiobooks.
There's a new feature in it where you can listen to the book slower or faster than normal speed without making it sound like chipmunks.
Right. So
they're saying that 6.5 hour tome of Bill Clinton's you can get through in 4 hours.
Yeah. I've actually got all 5 of the Harry Potter books on audio. They're all in there right now. So if I wanted, you know, I just finished 5 a while ago, and if I wanted to go through them all, I've got The Hobbit, I've got Lord of the Rings in there as audiobook. I've got hours and hours of old time radio. I've got Johnny Dollar and a bunch of others. Very
Harry
cool.
Harry Potter
stuff
on your site too?
No, it's not up on my site. It's a purchased item.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah. I've gone
to the site, you know, because I like the old radio as far as the Green Hornet and the old Superman, the Lone Ranger.
Yep.
I love listening to those.
If you're into...
Now, those are all out of copyright, right. So you can have all those you want. I'll give you my little URL, and you can go get them.
If you're into audiobooks a lot, there's a great website, audible.com, we've talked about before. I think it's like $15 a month. You get 2 books.
Yeah.
Which is less than the cost of 1 book.
Yes.
So if you go through a lot of books, that's great.
And you can get them through, and they'll play in your iPod. Audible stuff will play in your iPod. In addition, there's audiobooksforfree.com.
Yep.
You should put that in our list. They're read by, not the, you know, the people who read audiobooks that you buy are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Or the author
phenomenal.
Themselves.
These are good people. Yeah. They're not necessarily of the same quality. I suppose this is partially a sort of a way you train yourself to read audiobooks.
Yep.
But they're very good. And if you're into audiobooks, audiobooksforfree.com has a lot of the classics and stuff on it. You're not going to find the latest Ludlum novel, although there aren't many late Ludlum novels since it's the late Ludlum. But that's the kind of thing you wouldn't find there. But you find a lot of the classics and a lot of interesting stuff. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
we're going to have the website of the week.
Website of the week, and we're going to take your phone call.
And more.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 1220 till 2 to answer any and all computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco. On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And as promised, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Dave, sitting on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Hello. Dave. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I have a couple questions for you. One on the hard drive that Dave had mentioned, but I'd like to open with a question on AdAware SE.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm having a problem with it because I cannot get the updates. I'd like your overall opinions and impressions. Should we be using it? And secondly, have you had any problems getting the updates?
What version? Now, see, the thing of it is the AdAware SE has gone through 4 revisions.
Okay.
Have you downloaded the latest revision?
I did. I downloaded it last evening.
No, the whole program?
Yeah. From scratch.
A brand new version of the program.
And that should have the update in it. The current update in it.
Okay.
Maybe that's why you're not getting any updates, because you have the latest.
Well, but normally, for example, with the 6.181 or with SpyBot, if there are no updates, you get a little thing that comes up and says no updates available or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting that. I just don't get anything. It's just dead.
When you click on the AdAware, you know, and check for updates, and it says connect, and then what does it come back and say?
Nothing. It dies. It's dead right at that point.
Do you have XP Service Pack 2?
No, I don't.
That's going to be
a
new first question,
XP.
By the way.
Yeah, but no.
And if you have it, there's your problem.
I'm just wondering if he's got some of the other Adaware deviants. You're running XP?
No, I'm not. I'm actually running Windows 98.
Try starting it up in safe mode.
Okay.
And run it first in safe mode. There's a number of Adaware spoofs that get in there and literally try to uninstall, disable Adaware because, it's trying to get rid of them. So start it up in safe mode. Man, I had a machine last night that I was working on, just finishing up. And I went, it was Windows, And I went through, into MS Config, so the startup program. This thing had to be at least 9, screen folds, scrolling down, unselecting spyware.
Yep.
And junk, and a lot of it was spoofs of Adaware. So try starting it up in safe mode and see if that'll let you get rid of it first.
There's also one really nasty spy program called VX, after the nerve gas, that Adaware by itself cannot remove. You need to download the plug-in VX Remover for Adaware.
Yep.
Guys, it sounds good. A question on the hard drive that Dave was mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that there exists any real difference or important differences in terms of the quality between an absolutely brand new hard drive that you buy in the store and one which you receive back, I guess you would call it a refurbished drive, from the manufacturer, which you receive in return, when you send in a bad drive that's under warranty?
No, because usually what they do is just, send you a new one.
Well, a lot of times.
I mean, they might go back in and actually recondition them. But the thing that is yes, there can be a difference.
Yeah,
like, say, the drives I sell are 7,200 RPM, and they've got an 8K buffer. Now, they might turn around and send you back, just a 7,200 RPM drive, just a flat 7,200, and not have the 8K buffer. They're a little bit cheaper, but if they're replacing them, that's the way they do it. All you might know is the average user, I got my 40 gig or 80 gig hard drive back. That's all I care about.
And what we see a lot of times is they'll fix whatever the problem was, put it back in the repair channel. So a repaired drive you get may be something that's been fixed already. But theoretically, it's fixed back to factory specs, and the rest of your warranty is still
And they performed
valid.
All the tests on it.
Right.
Yeah, they put it in a clean room and maybe replace a platter. The components in that.
I thought that at a minimum they always replace the platters. Is that wrong?
Not always.
It depends on what's wrong with it. It could be just the controller.
Platters could be good. It could be just a circuit board, which quite often dies, that controls the platters.
What I have seen a lot, I don't know if it's still true, it used to be a lot that sometimes the pins would get pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And so all they do is really replace that connector.
Say that again. What gets pulled out?
The pins for the connector. When you replace the ribbon cable too often.
I got you. Okay.
Or they get bent, and you bend them back, and they get bent again, and they break.
Or people trying to hook up the power connectors, they snap those off.
Right, right.
I've seen that happen a lot.
So, hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Good answers, and good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. Thank you, David. Have fun down there in PA. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Thank you. I have a question about Microsoft Excel.
Yes.
Trying to figure out how to have it calculate ages from birthdays.
Subtract the two dates and format it as a date field.
Well, I tried to do year cell minus year 2004 or vice versa. But then I couldn't get it to duplicate that formula in other cells.
The only formula you need is minus. If you have one cell that has a date in it, another cell that has a date in it, subtract those two cells.
And then you have the date in one cell and you subtract now.
Right. Formula.
Now
formula.
Minus the date gives you the number of days, and then you can format that as a year.
Okay.
And then if you want to move it down to other cells, you just, if you got a column there, you just select that first one, usually over in the right-hand corner, you drag it down and it'll copy it.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you want to do with the date. If you want to get the number of days between two dates.
How old a person might be.
Years.
Well, then it's the number of days divided by 365.45, isn't it?
Yeah, something like 4.25.
Yeah, two date fields, a simple subtraction gives you the number of days between those two dates.
And then if you divide that by 365 and a quarter, you get an approximate date. And then if you round that off to years, you get how old they are.
Okay.
You may have to add one to that.
To include today.
To leap year.
Yeah, you may have to add one to that. But that, I mean, you now play with that and you should get there.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. When was the last time we answered an Excel question?
Well, there's all these dates.
I love that.
There's all these date functions in Excel that will extract the year from this formula, mm-hmm. extract the month from this formula. But, you know, simple subtraction gives you the number of days.
It's supposed to be for school, but you know how that goes. We've been having a problem with one of the games that he's put on the computer. He gets about 15 minutes into the game, and the computer just shuts off.
What's the game?
City of Heroes.
What's your processor speed, and how much video memory does it have?
Right. I'm using an Athlon XD2000. Mm-hmm. I've got 256 megs of RAM on that, and I've got a Sapphire Aeon Radeon 9200 with 128 megs of RAM.
And how much, what OS?
I'm sorry?
What operating system?
XD Professional with Service Pack 1.
Not enough memory.
Yeah, not enough main memory in the computer.
Not enough memory.
512 minimum, 1 gig.
Yeah, I said,
It's interesting is because this is the only game it does it on.
Yeah, well, it could be
one that stresses it the most.
Yep.
It's
super graphic intensive, and you know you are only with 256 mega memory. I just upgraded my machine, and I just got up to a 2800 plus, and I put a gig of memory in there.
Wow!
With some games, even 128 megs of video memory isn't enough. You need the 256 meg video card.
Well, that's where I skimped. I only put a 64 meg video card. If
you're not doing first person shooters or you know 3D CAD work, 64
memory does make a big difference in XP. I just went from 512 up to a gig, and I love it.
Okay.
It's not that expensive.
It's time to go buy more memory. Then
there you go.
That's the place to start.
That's what I needed.
Good luck.
Thank you much.
Isn't it tough when you say to somebody, you get 256 meg, and oh, by the way, that's not enough?
Yep.
Cheese and crackers. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me
and
Chris. And
the Soundbite website of the week.
The website of the week on Soundbite at 1180 WHAM.
Need an ex.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I do know these cookies are terrific. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Pass them this way because they're not. Yeah. We're back to Soundbites. Back to the phones in a couple of minutes.
I'm playing with Excel here. I just wanted to see with the subtraction date. I'm 14,582 days old.
And you look every minute of it.
Yeah.
What was your birthday again, Nick?
All right. It's
September 10th, 1950.
19,705 days old.
And happy to have lived every one of them.
So, September 20th, 1948.
Ooh.
He's old.
I'm the old guy.
1948.
And when are you in September?
19th. Dave, a whopping 20,425 days old.
Yep.
All right, Rob, what's yours? Your birthday. Come on.
You guys are all going to cry when I tell you my birthday.
No, you're only like 26.
What?
That's that.
24. It's 125.80.
80, holy crap.
Yeah, let me guess, Nick. I have socks older than that.
Oh,
I do.
I'm wearing underwear older than that.
He's 8,976 days. You're only eight. You're barely 9,000, not even 9,000 days old.
You're not even into double digits.
Not even double digits.
For heaven's sake.
All right, as promised. Here's the website of the week. I found this real great site, and it's for kids. Now, if kids want to go online and do different designs and like experimenting with the different clip art and all that type of stuff, it's a real great site. We're going to have a link. I think Steve's already got it posted up there. But the website is www.nga.gov/kids/zone/zone.htm. So, I mean, it's a real great site. It's a safe site, folks. So these are things, because I've got grandchildren, I'm really checking these out to make sure that, you know, one, you're not going to wind up with a lot of spyware. So any of these sites that I do, I'm really checking them out to make sure that, you know, if I recommend something, you're not going to get a lot of spam or anything else. So be assured of that. But, again, we're going to have a link to this website on our website. So go and check it out. And it's great for the kids to have a lot of fun.
I mean,
you know, in passing times, gee, on a rainy day,
yep,
which we've had a lot of lately.
And before we get back to the phones, which we'll do in just a minute, I want to talk about our website a little bit. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was, will you invest in Google? They just had their initial public offering. The vast majority, 84% of you, said no. 400 of you voted in the poll. That puts it at number 25 on the all-time hit list. Thank you all, each and every one of you. This week's poll... I read something in the paper this week that was pretty interesting. Web surfing. In the United States, the majority of Internet users in the U.S. have ditched dial-up, according to a survey from NetRatings. 51% of all home Internet users are on some form of broadband. So this week's question, which I apologize, by the way, I didn't get it up till this morning. I was so busy playing with my iPod last night, fixing it and getting it updated and getting all the right songs in it, right old-time radio shows in it, that I completely blew off doing the poll until this morning, but it's up now. It says, my main connection to the Internet is via, and your choices are cable modem, DSL, phone modem, satellite, at work, at the library, and other. Please leave an opinion. So far, we have 84 votes. Again, the vast majority of you are on cable modem, followed by DSL, followed by much what they say at what's going on. And when you're done with putting in your poll vote, please take a look at the little yellow box underneath it. That's at our website, by the way, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you'll see underneath the poll a little yellow box with a link to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Excellent. And you can give us your opinion. So far, we've got 18 opinions in, and I'm shocked at the number of them that actually spoke to the actual poll.
I like the one where the guy says that so many people have moved off of dial-up, that dial-up is now faster.
Yeah, faster than it used to be, faster than anything else, but it's pretty cool. So please leave us your opinion. Let us know exactly what form of connection you have to the Internet, your main connection. Now, before you start writing in, this is your main connection, where you spend most of your day. If you spend most of your day at work, put that down. If you have multiple connections, which one do you use the most? If you have wireless, guess what? That doesn't count, because at some point you connect that to the Internet through either a cable modem or DSL or something else. And that's the thing I'm interested in knowing about. Not the fact that you've thrown a wireless router up and you wander around the house in your underwear. We're going to take a quick break, but
we don't want to know that.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes with your phone calls. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Have you used your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers? Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And as promised, we're going to go right to the phones and talk to John on a cell phone. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hey there.
I have a Microsoft Word question for you guys, and I'm not sure exactly when it started to happen, but whenever we were typing a document, if we highlighted, maybe changed the verbiage, it doesn't change the verbiage, but just tap it next to what's already there. And I have to actually hit the delete button instead of like a backspace button or just type over the highlighted words. How can I change that back to what it used to be?
What you want to do is look for a file called normal.dot.
Okay.
Find that file, do a search, and then say rename it. And rename the DOT to TXT.
Okay.
Or BAK for backup.
Or BAK, whatever you want to call it. And then all you've got to do is restart up Word. And when you restart up Word, it recreates the normal.dot back to the default.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
That will also lose any other customization you put in on purpose. Somewhere along the way, you accidentally hit probably the insert versus overstrike feature.
Mm-hmm. So give it a shot.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Donna from Henrietta. Welcome, Donna. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for the program.
Sure,
I just have a couple questions. I missed a beginner's class on the Mac a few months ago that was offered in the city, and I'm wondering if it's going to be offered again, or how do I find out about it?
It's probably the Apple Users Group.
Apple Users?
Yep, it's Apple Cider Users Group.
Okay.
And the phone number is 251-APPLE.
251-APPLE.
Yeah. The general meeting for the second Wednesday of every month at each high school.
Okay.
And the beginner's meeting Saturday following the second Wednesday. which is not always the second Saturday. So it's the Saturday following the second Wednesday at Visual Studies Workshop, which is at the corner of Prince and University.
Visual Studies.
Yes, and the next beginner's meeting is September 11th.
The 11th is the meeting, and so the...
No, the beginner's meeting is the 11th. The main meeting is, what, the 8th then?
Mm-hmm. Well, the beginner's meeting is the 11th. Do I have to sign up for that, or how do I... call them, or...
Just walk in the door.
Yep, just show up.
Okay, and one other question. I'm new to my Mac. I'm new to computers. I'm having trouble with my dock popping in and out, and I have set it so that it should not be doing that, and it tells me in my manual that if I go to where the dock is and move my mouse there, it will pop back in, and it won't do that.
Yeah, you've got dock hiding turned on.
But I don't have dock hiding.
In the Apple menu,
yes.
The dock's still hiding. Hitting the setting again, turn hiding off command again.
Okay, as many times as I...
Well, it's a toggle. You can want to turn it on, hit it again, turn it off.
Okay. All right. And that was 251-APPLE.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, thanks.